A small headache could lead to a big mistake. Should a person be blamed for a lump on their brain? Over the years, many cases have been brought up that are related to neuroscience and criminology. Today, we are going to talk about the insanity defense.
In 1996, it was an unusual event in the state of Texas. A man named Charles Whitman had stabbed his wife to death, shot 13 people, and ultimately killed himself. Having no record of ever being violent, Charles knew that something was wrong with his thoughts. He wrote in a suicide note for someone to do an autopsy of his brain. Scientists did and found a tumor in the frontal lobe of his brain.
Was the tumor the cause of his thoughts and behaviors? There's a lot of controversy over this particular topic. Sophomore Serge from Science Leadership Academy shared his opinion on this case.
A person is not born and they don't have any control over themselves. I mean, yes, you can stop yourself from pulling the trigger on a gun. You can't blame them on that.
Yeah.
That's yourself. You should have a little bit of control over yourself.
Many people have their own opinions and theories of the insanity defense, since it's not possible to conduct a full study. When a person has a brain tumor, specifically on the frontal lobe, it can interfere with reasoning, planning, and problem solving. Other symptoms include memory loss, lack of control, changes in mood and personality, and lack of ability to concentrate.
Another case that was investigated was about a school teacher who was accused of molesting his stepdaughter and collecting child porn. Beforehand, he had complained about headaches. The doctors found a tumor on his frontal lobe. When investigating this case, he stated that he didn't want to watch it, but his actions were uncontrollable, like he was possessed. After the tumor was removed, the urges suddenly went away. This case created even more debate about whether or not he used the tumor as an excuse for his actions.
Teacher Caitlin Thompson shared with us an interesting point of view.
I think that if there is proof that before, when they had the tumor, something bad was happening, and then once removed, it is no longer happening, that there is probably a high correlation between the tumor causing it. I think it might be interesting to think about the fact that people who are pedophiles, who are addicted to porn, very frequently, just like alcoholism, have a really hard time controlling their behavior. It would be hard for a pedophile to tell themselves, like, oh, I have to stop being a pedophile because I hit my tumor and that was my excuse, and I have no excuse anymore, so I need to stop, therefore proving that the tumor was, you know, previously caused that.
This case makes you ask yourself, did the tumor cause this, or did he use the tumor as a cover-up for his actions?
Serge and Ms. Thompson share their final thoughts on this topic.
I think that, I guess you're born with it, and the one case with the guy who was obsessed with the children and molesting them and whatever, and doing whatever he likes to do with them, I guess he was trying to shed light on the fact that you can blame it on it, but I think that's all in your brain from birth.
So if we don't know that this person has a tumor, is it fair to judge their poor behavior, especially if once the tumor is removed, there is proof that they no longer do that?
So we leave you the question, should a person be blamed for the lump on their brain?
That's all for now. Tune in next week for how cocaine affects the brain.
Thank you.
Thank you.